T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hara and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal in Michigan, most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one to stop me.
On 1080.
I'm the best ever.
The Fan.
All right, hour number 3, Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Thank you for being a part of our morning and letting us be a part of yours, whether you're listening on 1080 The Fan or radio.com app. 99.5 HD2. Thanks, folks. And if you don't listen on the app, that's where you can find the Les Schwab Tires podcast, too. And all of the shows as well. Working from home, crystal clear audio. Hour number 2, we had Alex Brink. So he talked Cougs and then how quarterbacks and young athletes can kind of, what to do to stay in shape and stay limber when you don't have coaching and you don't have sports around you, you know? Mm-hmm. Had a good conversation with him. And then we'll revisit our P1 social from hour number 1 in this hour with the NCAA granting a waiver and what it means for the NCAA and sports. But we kick off hour number 3 with a little NFL chatta. And remember, Goodell sent out his memo about, hey, you better not criticize me for having the draft go on. Well, people are still criticizing him, Cam, and it's not going away. People are
big
saying,
surprise.
Yeah, now they're just not attaching their name to it.
Oh, so they're hiding behind their burner accounts?
Yeah, because at first, it was like Elway came out and he was pretty vocal. He was like, I think this is a bad idea. We can't evaluate guys. Now people are just saying, yeah, don't put my name behind this, but this is a terrible idea. He says, they're telling Peter King, you know, some are unhappy that the draft will go forward April 23 to the 25th, figuring that all the restrictions and scouting, they just make it harder for all the teams to keep up to speed and get up to speed on players. We've talked about this where teams are now having Justin Herbert above Tua because they can't see Tua face-to-face.
Mike Lynch said it best. John Lynch, not Mike Lynch. Mike Lynch is the afternoon producer for primetime. But John Lynch is the general manager for the San Francisco 49ers. And he said, do better. Okay, work harder. Those are going to be the teams that really thrive during this time. If you were lazy and you didn't invest in your scouting department, and some of these teams always wait. They wait. They procrastinate. I always said that men are really good at procrastinating. But some of the logistics of this draft are going to be unprecedented. Mm-hmm. And like all things we're going through right now is quite a bit. The logistics of this draft with some of the at home, the states and have the stay at home part of the rules, all these picks are going to have to be done with video conferencing, and none of these guys are going to be able to be together within the room. And that's just kind of how it's going to work.
This may be the ultimate draft of, I can't believe they didn't draft insert player here. And there's going to be a lot of reasons for it. One of them is you have these teams that habitually prepare poorly for the draft and they draft poorly. But the other one is that the teams that always do their homework on guys, they were prepared before the combine even happened. And they did their due diligence over a time where before anything was shut down, they had an idea of what guys they felt were good fits for them and a culture fit as well.
Well, this is also going to be a change for the future because not the luxury of being able to get on an airplane, go talk to a kid, go to a pro day workout, sit down with his other coaches. You know, that's not readily available. You can still talk to their coaches. You can Skype them. You can do the things you need to do. This is going to change not only with just studying game tape, which I believe The more time we have in between the combine and the Senior Bowl, of course, and then suddenly when the draft gets here, the more time we have for guys creating just storylines to be able to find a reason why Justin Herbert can't make this throw.
Yeah.
Or why Baker Mayfield is too slow, or all these other things. We find this narrative here. Game tape now is going to be the true meaning of can you play football or can you not? It's always been the separator anyway. I got so exhausted with every time we heard a guy says, well, he's really gotten faster. What, in a month and a half because he took some track guy to tell him how to start at a comp? Nobody cares about that. You care about how he looks on game tape. And that's what I think a lot of these coaches are doing now, especially scouts. They're diving back into the game tape, which is the true telltale sign. I might go on the flip side on this, okay? I think this is going to be one of the best drafts we've ever seen in the NFL because of that reason and that reason alone, is that the work these guys are going to have to do, the luxury that they relied on scouting services and other things and word of mouth and talk, these guys are going to have to dig in. Not only will it separate the good GMs from the bad GMs, but we're going to see, truthfully, we're going to see these guys actually have to find the minute details in some of these guys and have to dig even further, make a phone call, get on FaceTime, get on Skype, get on Zoom, have those things. And instead of just relying on somebody that said that, yeah, I think that he's a little slow. He's got a bad first step. Well, prove it. It's on film.
And a lot of these teams, essentially, I'm with you in that, like the teams that have good culture and have direction and have a foundation that they're built on, you know, Pittsburgh is one. They draft well. Historically, the Patriots, and kind of they know exactly what they're looking for in a guy. Seahawks, Niners,
not a wide receiver, they don't.
Those sorts of teams, yeah, right. But they have, you sit there, and those teams that have an idea of what kind of guy is their guy, they are going to knock these drafts out of the park. The ones where it literally takes the player to come visit them and it like slaps them in the face, seeing how good that athlete is. Those are teams that are going to whiff, but they would have whiffed on several other picks anyways. You're going to see guys with great fits coming in here because there is a lot that kind of goes into the draft process outside of what they are just talent-wise on the field. And like culture, we talk about culture being top to bottom in an organization and how it's run. Those teams, they find guys in the draft because of the fact they know what kind of person they're getting as well. Like you don't truly know who you're getting, but they do their homework outside of just, oh my gosh, this guy can run great routes or he's really good and he's got quick hips, right?
Certainly there are teams and there are scouts and there are everybody out there that follow the herd. The herd is, hey, we're going to Ohio State to try to find four or five guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's easy to do. Why do certain organizations find diamonds in the rough? How do you find Antonio Brown? How do you find other guys like Bill Belichick? And how do they find these small schools at Kent State and at even
Rutgers? The only team drafting players at a Rutgers.
You know how they do that? Their network. Their network is better than everybody else. There are lazy scouts and there's lazy general managers and there's ones that rely on a service. No, I'm not kidding you. There are scouting departments that pay for scouting services to do that for them. They submit a bunch of information to them and give them their grades, and then they start to say, well, this Billy said this about that. You know, I'm being a little hyperbole there, but it's there is just factions of laziness that go around in that, and you wonder why they flounder in bad situations and why they can't develop the draft. The Dallas Cowboys are really good at draft. They're excellent at how they not only work, but they efficiently find out just little things about the guys they like. That's what makes the difference. Now, of course, they're not winning in the end and getting the Super Bowls, but they develop a ton of talent, and they find it in young guys. So we're just going to see this even more now.
You know what franchise doesn't get enough credit for culture built and taking risks on guys that they just know will be a fit, whether it's X's and O's wise or, you know, personality-wise? Hmm. Baltimore. The Ravens.
Well, Ozzie Newsome set a standard there. He was incredible.
Yeah.
Ozzie Newsome set a standard, and it's just carried on.
They do a good, and then he handed off to DaCosta, mm-hmm. who he kind of groomed in that process. Who Eric DaCosta is their GM now. Sorry, I'm hitting my mic everywhere. But they do a really good job drafting. But then, like, I was reading this article, Calais Campbell, who they just acquired in a trade from Jacksonville. he was talking about how the what sold him on like approving the trade and final approval, not just saying screw this, I'm not going there, was he called one of his teammates that he had in Arizona, who's with the Cardinals, Tony Jefferson, mm-hmm. and was asking him like, hey, what do you think of Baltimore? And Jefferson had just been cut by the Baltimore Ravens and told him that's a place you want to be. Like that they do everything the right way.
Yeah.
They will treat you the right way, and they will try to make the system work for you. And that is like, that's not just going through trades and free agency. That's drafting as well.
You know,
I mean, it's finding the guy that's getting the most out of that player.
Well, it's funny you say that, because here's what I know, and here's what I've heard from friends that have played for Baltimore. And I'm not going to reveal the sources, but I have former guys that I know pretty well that played for Baltimore. They loved Ozzie Newsome and the staff and the group that they had built there. The trust, the development, and the organization was something that they appreciated. However, with that said,
ooh, Stephen A.
No. However, the conviction of them all loving John Harbaugh was not there.
Yeah.
There was a strange sense of, look, he's a Harbaugh. And Harbaugh, as much as you want to say, is that Jim is the gruff one, it's not like John is somebody that you say it's just the easiest guy and all these things are. He has his issues also. But there are some former players and guys that have been there and said, hey, look, we loved Ozzy. We loved everything he did. John is just, there was always like a pause. And that's how I go, is even the great coaches, it's not like you got around Bill Walsh and everyone went, I love it. You know, it's not very often you hear, even Pete Carroll, guys that leave or that around there, I don't mind that. Truthfully, I really don't mind that. But when everybody says something that I don't like about this guy, then that's when my ears perk up. But not, you can't make everybody happy. But there is something unique about what Baltimore has done.
And
that is that John Harbaugh is a very good coach. He's an excellent coach. But it was Ozzie Newsome was a big deal there. Big deal.
And that was a big part of this article I was reading. What Jefferson had been raving about the Ravens organization was that, you know, Newsom built it. He handed it off to DaCosta. And, you know, it was just kind of like, here we go. But in it, he says that Jefferson actually appreciated John Harbaugh because he was open with him mm-hmm. about the fact that they have a young player that he was like, he's going to replace you. And that is the thing. And that kind of is like, do you think that that's a part of why some of the players that you're talking about didn't quite mesh well with Harbaugh's, because he is not a guy who's like, you're established veteran, you earned your job, you're going to keep it. He hands off starting jobs to young guys left and right. Lamar Jackson to Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he was like, nope, you're not good enough. We're going to draft Lamar Jackson. Not just going to draft him. We're going to draft him in the first round.
I would explain, and this is kind of what I've heard, is that he's a little non-confrontational in a sense that he'll look you and say, hey, you're doing a great job. We appreciate everything you're doing. And then next thing you know, it's like, yeah, by the way, someone else, your position coach might come up to you and say, we're going a different direction. We're going to move this guy in or out. You know, it's just kind of like
interesting.
It's there's transparency in coaching is all different. Some coaches are really, really good. Really, really good at managing all the egos and trying to figure that out. I've always appreciated full transparency because I think it's easier to do that. I don't like tell me what we want to hear guy. I don't like that. I never have liked that. That doesn't work for me. For other guys, it's just that's the fear of not wanting to be liked or not wanting to be hated by everybody in a sense. And I think that's maybe a little bit of what John Harbaugh. Jim, on the other hand, is not like that.
Mm-mm.
He's just right in your grill. I don't like it. We're not doing it. So different personalities, and I can appreciate that either way, but you can't question the fact that John Harbaugh's not a great coach.
Yeah.
He is.
Baltimore, they got a good thing going right now, man.
Yeah.
They're figuring it out whether or not it's they just need to start winning playoff games with Lamar Jackson.
Just one.
Or performing.
Just start with one. Don't tell me how good you are in the regular season.
No,
that's not impressive. What's impressive is what you do in postseason.
All right, the NCAA has granted a waiver. Will it change the NCAA as we know it? 55305, that's a fan text line. Dustin Cam. Okay. We were talking earlier about Michael Jordan and the logo, Jumpman logo, being recognizable. I have found a study. I gave you the global ones earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Coca-Cola was number one.
Number one.
Do you want to know United States? Why don't you? Can you guess the top five in the United States of America most recognizable brand logos?
Well, Coke, Pepsi, Nike, Apple, and I got to think. How many is that? I just gave four.
Yeah.
Jeez, I'm trying to think of something that we use as simple. I'm gonna say Ford.
Ooh, all of the ones that you gave.
I was gonna go maybe gasoline, either Chevron or 76.
I was going to say General Motors or Chevy, but I thought Ford's a bigger, I mean, it's just maybe a little bit bigger brand.
All of the ones that you gave were listed in the top 15, but Ford was 15th.
Okay.
Pepsi was 11th. The top five, Apple number one.
Okay, yeah, makes sense.
McDonald's number two, Mickey D's.
Yeah.
Coke was number three, Nike four, and then fifth, Starbucks.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about that one?
That's about right.
A little start every single corner.
Right.
On every corner. Yeah. And then sixth was Google, Facebook seven, Adidas eight, yeah. Amazon nine, yeah. YouTube 10. I bet Amazon, if they redid this, Amazon is probably number one after the coronavirus.
That's fair.
I see the Amazon truck driving to almost every single house. Every single house in in like my neighborhood. It's crazy how many deliveries they're doing.
Well,
right now.
It's the future.
The future is now, man.
Well, the future is going to be drones and dropping stuff. And I know I'm going to be a little bit crazy here, but yeah, that's what it is.
Playboy still ranking in the top 25.
Did you see
21?
Did you see who wants to pose in Playboy at 75? Come and knock on our door.
Suzanne Summers
at 75 years old.
What's she looking like?
She wants to go and pose back in Playboy. 75. Get your airbrush ready.
I don't know how I feel about that. I had the
What are you talking about? Hey.
She's 75 years old.
It doesn't matter. 75-year-olds like to get it on. What's wrong with that?
I know that, but
she actually looks really good for 75.
I'm doing the Google search right now.
I mean, she just did a. Yeah, I thought she did a naked. There's some naked shots that she did not too long ago. I think her husband was. She was talking about her and her husband really enjoy each other's company. They like to spend a lot of time, and they're full of a lot of fervor. Oh. And so she wants to pose.
She had a lot of work done.
Oh, yeah.
I had a thing for Suzanne Summers,
of course,
back in the day.
Oh yeah, you were definitely a.
My gosh, what I was definitely what?
Oh, you're a I was
Step by Step, Three's Company.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Gosh, she was hot, but 75. I thought Playboy is going to stop printing, and they're blaming
online version.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I thought everybody just read it for the articles.
Good for her though. I mean, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, her Wikipedia says that she is an actress, author, singer, businesswoman, and health spokesperson.
Yeah. Well, come on, the Thighmaster was magical.
Yeah, I mean,
who didn't stay up late at 11:30 to watch the Thighmaster infomercial?
I was watching the Scrambled Channel.
Oh. Yeah, I only had three channels.
Oh, look! Look! I think I saw a boob! That was basically it. You know, I was thinking that you might have seen a little bit. Okay, so that's recognizable brands for you. NCAA, they have granted waivers to seniors. Will it make a change in the NCAA? Like, do you think that what they did, because if you missed it from earlier, check it out, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com. But the NCAA is saying any spring sport athlete, so you're talking softball, track, lacrosse, they will get an extra year of eligibility. Doesn't mean if you're a freshman or a senior, you get one more year tacked on, but the school does not have to give you financial aid for that extra year. And so a lot of the seniors are going, wait a minute, you know, what am I going to do here? Am I going to have to pay for it, or are you just going to go away? Do you think this changes the way that we see kind of the NCAA operate if they're at a shortfall for money next year, it's not just going to be those seniors. You're going to see some of these Olympic sports not have full scholarship allotments even anymore.
And I think, you know, who's as close to anybody. And Buck, we got the audio of it, right? You have that? Dusty, you got it? Thumbs up? Yeah, so Jay Billis was on with Mike Greenberg this morning on Get Up, and he was talking about, look, we're talking about all this money that athletes are getting. There should be a few others that should be willing to give it up a little bit.
It's certainly reasonable not to grant that simply because most of those sports had come to conclusion or near conclusion. So you'd be opening up something totally different for, say, Cassius Winston to come back to Michigan State. It would have been a nice gesture to allow that because they didn't get to finish their season, but the overwhelming majority of winter sport athletes had already finished their years. And that is a huge cost for athletic departments because those are scholarship sports. Most of those sports, they're all scholarships. Men's and women's basketball, those are a lot of scholarships that they would have to pay for out of the athletic department budget. But again, one thing we're not hearing is about the cost of salaries of these gigantic athletic departments. We're bickering over the cost of scholarships and if an athlete decides to come back, how expensive that's going to be. They're not talking about how much money they're paying to each other. And that's really the issue here. That's the main cost of college athletics, of the gigantic athletic departments and the gigantic salaries and facilities and debt service that they have as a result of all the spending that they've done.
Jay Billis.
Oh, Jay Billis, interesting. So can I do some quick math for you? 85 scholarships potentially on every Division I team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just do a round figure, this is a fair number of per year that I've kind of come up with, but there's going to be ifs, ands, or buts. But I'm going to say around $65,000 per football. So 85, that is $5.525 million. Do you happen to know what these high-end coaches are making? What if, Nick Saban, you took half your salary and helped out some of the athletes that are there, the guys that should be thankful for their opportunity, which they are thankful, but we need to actually look at the massive amounts of money that the coaches and all these staffs are making. Look, I just showed you, okay, $5.5 million. Do you need to make a sacrifice for some of this? You could find a lot of extra revenue if coaches or any of these others might say, hey, let's find ways to get revenue back in because without these athletes, we have nothing. These old guys aren't waddling their butt out there. We're not watching you on Saturday. We're watching the young athletes. So don't tell me that there isn't revenue there.
Well, how about this? Dabo Swinney makes $9.3 million a year.
Yeah.
And remember this quote.
Yeah.
This quote from the Charleston Post and Courier when Northwestern was trying to unionize. He said, quote, "We try to teach our guys, use football to create opportunities, take advantage of the platform and the brand and the marketing you have available to you. But as far as paying players, professionalizing college athletics, that's where you lose me. I'll do something else because there's enough entitlement in this world as it is."
Oh, really?
Hey, Dabo.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you give up some of that $9.3 million so you can give those opportunities to baseball players, track and field athletes?
100%.
The lacrosse team as well.
It's a dadgum mistake.
Let's find a reason. All these guaranteed contracts that these coaches are going around and getting paid by five different teams right now. Let's take a little bit of that and let's go pro bono for these coaches this year. How about that? How about you take your salary and you invest in these athletes for 1 year and see how much that can help? I'm not telling people to do it with their wallet. I always try to stay out of other people's wallets. But when we start complaining about athletes and their costs that are there as quote-unquote amateurs, which they are, they're amateurs, and we have professional coaches, which you're a professional coach, who's the bigger in the room? Who's the adult in the room that we're looking for leadership? Who's the one that makes the sacrifice? The kids? Because everybody wants to call them kids. Or the adults? The adults are there to make the big room decisions. And if they're not, and they're not willing to do that, then you get to see where their hearts really lie. That will be proof to me.
This is a fascinating one. You know, and Dabo Swinney's earned $9.3 million a year from Clemson. What he's done with that program has been unbelievable. The revenue that he generates for that program and that school is incredible. He's worth every penny of it. But my problem is when they have the I'm going to be preachy to you guys about why you don't deserve any of it. And I'm not going to put my money where my mouth is when I'm telling you a scholarship is worth way more. Well, give them the opportunity then. Go ahead and do it.
Do you know what you could fund of spring sports with half of Dabo Swinney's salary? Do you know what you could fund?
A lot. You probably...
You could fund two whole teams. Travel expenses, scholarships, food, the other coaches' expenditures. We're not asking for you to take it in the shorts for 5 years.
Dagum.
If that's what it takes to do to get things back on track and help.
55305, that's the fan text line. We'll get some of your feedback coming in on the fan text line. Will it change the way college sports is played? If it isn't already, this fall it could. Here's Buck.
It's a dadgum mistake.
All right, we're talking NCAA granting the waiver to every spring sport athlete, but it's going to be, there's financial implications here because they don't have to give financial aid to seniors coming back for an additional year next year in those spring sports, and there will be a budgetary shortfall in the NCAA. They were set to dish out $600 million to member institutions as part of their TV rights deals. That's going to be cut by $375
million. Mm-hmm.
That's not to each school, mind you. But I mean, that's a lot of money. And then if football is part of this crunch and the coronavirus ends up shortening that season in any form, hey, you're looking at even less money. And you mentioned, Jay Billis mentioned, nobody's talking about coach salaries or administrator salaries. And we were bringing up Dabo Swinney because he makes $9.3 million and he's been vocal about, hey, when it becomes about the money, I'll go find something else to do. Well, it's about the money now and giving kids opportunities.
Yeah, we're going to see the truth moving forward. And it's not a doom and gloom mindset yet about what fall sports will be, but... Moving forward, Brett McMurphy of the stadium, he put out a survey, and they did a quarter of FBS ADs that responded to stadium survey believe that there's a 50% chance college football season won't be played at all. In fact, some of the coaches and some of the ADs that responded to this survey said, and I quote, if we aren't back playing by the fall, it's going to look like the Great Depression and we're all going to be in soup lines. And that's in the aspect of course, sports is one aspect of revenue for our country, right? It's just one. There's going to be a lot more. There are a lot bigger things. Okay, so we're a sports station. We're talking about sports, but there's going to be a lot of loss, catastrophic loss financially, but loss of life is a bigger deal. But if we're talking about the future of collegiate sports in the fall, I don't even know. And as you said, if they're thinking about it, it means that they're thinking about it. They're preparing for it a little bit.
Well, if you want to get the greatest minds in the South together and working on finding a cure, I mean, threatening and canceling their football season is probably the way to do it. Just float that one out there, and everybody in the South's gonna be like, let's get this thing fixed.
There are priorities of a lot of things right now. Yeah, but if fall, and if you were to sacrifice a sport, or if you couldn't sacrifice, can't even talk. If you couldn't sacrifice one sport, wouldn't you say it's fair? And the way we're set up in our country right now, that football is the sport. It's like the banks. Remember in 2008, remember that movie that said that Too Big to Fail? And the banks were given these $800 billion bailout and all this time. Mm-hmm. And I lived through that. We all lived through that. It was awful. It was horrible. We're going through another situation right now. Football might be too big to fail. Yeah. I know it's talking about human, but it's that kind of importance from the NFL to college. It funds all the sports at major universities. And it funds people, it funds television, it funds everything. And when I say too big to fail, I'm not trying to be, we're sitting here, but it just might be.
Yeah, there is a problem, though, in that TV networks, they generate so much content out of it. They're going to be hemorrhaging money. And it's going to affect, like, your normal television viewing, too. Because they make money off of live sporting events.
Yeah.
And they make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Your text at 55305. Deal says, imagine all the Tigers you could buy with Dabo's salary. At $2,000 a Tiger, that's a lot of Tigers. It's 4,650 Tigers at $9.3 million.
I'm muting all Tiger conversation moving forward.
Well,
done with it.
Did it? Got that one in there. This text says, I don't have a problem with the idea that a football coach is the highest paid person in the state. I do have a problem with that coach is the highest paid person in the state at a state school. I don't believe a taxpayer's dollar should pay for a coach more than we're paying the governor, for example. My wife works for the state, and there's a structure based on how long you've been employed with that agency and that employs you. Football coaches should be somewhere within that system. I kind of think Dabo is a Richard. But taxpayers aren't paying Dabo's salary.
No, taxpayers aren't paying any football coach's salary in
private
Power
donations
Five.
Are.
Yeah, remember, they're their own entity. So the athletic departments are fully self-sufficient. No tax dollars go into that. They actually pay the university's funds back in from their revenue generation. So that there's no way a tax dollars would go to. Now, retirement is a different thing with your PERS issues that you have here.
Yeah,
that's a whole different deal. Okay, that's as transparent as I get.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is a different situation. But yeah, there is no tax dollars going.
No, not to coach salaries. No. That's for sure. And no. You know what? People are going to raise some hell because, you know, every athletic department does get some sort of student funds coming in from it. And it's probably going to start getting more. And it'll be temporary, but they will be getting more money.
Why don't you explain that when you say student funds? So everyone doesn't say, hey, part of my cost of attendance and all those things aren't just flowing in the athletic department. Be specific on that.
No, student fees. There is
like $25, $50, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about like an ASB card here.
Well,
we're not talking like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. If I write a $50,000 check,
20,000 students at your university,
right,
that is
a
lot of money.
Well, it is, but it's not like, hey, I just wrote a $10,000 check for my kid to go to Oregon. It's not like $2,000 is going to the athletic department. It's like, it's like, hey, $25 here, $50 here or something for that.
It's more than that, but we talked about this before and the numbers on the local schools are, They're not high. And when you look at a percentage of the actual athletic department budget, it's a fraction. It is a fraction of the money that's coming.
Not even enough to really operate the lights.
Mm.
No.
So it's I don't know how long they're having the lights on. Why don't they do solar panels for the lights?
Have you been to Eugene in the Northwest? There's not a lot of sun.
Oh, sure there is. You could have enough solar panels on the top of that Death Star. You can...
Mm-hmm.
You know how solar energy works?
I think I do. Well, but you need the sun.
You can still get...
There's something called clouds.
You can still power the solar
panels. I understand
that.
I get it. But why isn't every house... Then if that's so true, Mr. Brilliant Scientist, why isn't every house have solar panels up here?
Because they're expensive.
No, because you still need sunlight.
They're expensive. I've always wondered that, though. My neighbors have it. They love it. You can get tax rebates. You know that?
I do. You actually can sell your energy right back to the power company.
See? In Oregon and Washington.
We do that during the summer.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yep.
At your house?
Yep, we do. We generate more energy than we use during the summertime.
And so sell it back.
Yeah, we sell it back.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Or we get a credit towards our account for when we need it later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want those new Tesla roof tiles is what I want. Roof shingles that are all solar built. That's got to be expensive, but those look amazing.
What is Tesla not doing?
They're the monster of battery storage and power.
Our panels are Tesla, the ones that we have. They're not the shingles like you're
talking about.
They're
not the shingles ones, but yeah.
Look at you, fancy pants.
Yeah.
You got the Tesla.
Came with the house.
Yeah.
Was that a selling point? Did they upsell you on that?
It wasn't an upsell. It was just a nice perk.
Yeah, it is a nice perk.
It's a great perk.
I mean, during the summer, we pay like $10 a month usually for like all of our power.
You're kidding.
No.
That's fantastic.
Oh, sunlight helps, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You have batteries that store them, Cam.
Yeah, but you got to get batteries also. Who's making those batteries?
God. Tesla.
Oh. Somebody's got to make them.
Well, yeah. Exactly. All right, get you set for the day on the fan. What's coming up? Plus, more of your feedback on this. It is 8:44 on the fan. Hey, Dusty, sticking around for my friends at Golden Oak Lending. Have you added up the total amount of credit card debt you owe? don't be afraid to find out. It can all go away with one call to my friends at Golden Oak Lending. 503-455-GOLD. That's 503-455-GOLD. Imagine that feeling of freedom when you owe nothing on credit cards. It can happen. Just call the experts out at Golden Oak Lending. The equity in your home has risen and the rates have fallen. That means you can get money to pay off those credit cards. Golden Oak can give you a free mortgage checkup right over the phone. It takes about 10 minutes and they can tell you whether or not they can save you money on your monthly mortgage payment. And their average cash out customer saves $904 a month. Plus, you make no payments for the first 2 months after you refi. Take a breather from the constant bills and a fresh start with no credit card debt. It can actually happen for you. Give Golden Oak Lending a call, 503-455-GOLD. The call is free. The analysis is free. And if they can't close your loan, the appraisal is no charge. Golden Oak Lending, 503-455-GOLD. NMLS 1631-503. Jeez Louise. P1 Steve chiming in. You were talking about how the Tesla tiles for your roof, you know? He said that we were told our home, which is 1,500 square feet, it'd be around $45,000 for the tiles to be installed with a lifetime warranty.
Well, that's, I mean,
the shingles one?
Yeah. I mean, that's probably, I mean, it's going to be expensive, but it probably pays for itself over time. Yeah. Over time, it's got to pay you back. And if, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to be rattled easy.
And those ones aren't very heavy, are they?
I have no idea. I've just looked at them online.
That was a big selling point for
them. Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Because the actual panels themselves, we have Construction Bro says solar panels are heavy, takes a lot of extra framing to install solar panels on normal roofs. And I thought one of the selling points was that those the Tesla actual roofing tiles are not that heavy at all. So that's wild. Pretty soon, Elon Musk is just going to own all of us.
What?
He and Bezos, you know?
Really?
Yep.
Well, they said that about Rockefeller. They said that about all those guys.
We kind
of
did.
They owned the trains. They owned everything. And, yeah, there's always tycoons of every era. You know, we'll move and shift.
But I mean, these guys have their hand in everything, though.
They can't live forever.
Literally everything. I don't know. Well, how old is Elon Musk?
I don't know.
Has anybody ever asked that question?
40s? He looks like he's in his mid-40s, I want to say. Mid late 40s?
He is
48.
300 years old. He's a vampire.
48.
Mm. He's an interesting character, man. He is his brain. Have you heard him talk about, did you listen to his Joe Rogan interview?
I did a little bit. He talked about a lot of things.
Where he smoked weed with him. Well, and then, but he said that his brain never shuts off.
That's how Bill Gates is one of the most amazing documentaries. His brain never stops. Those guys are brilliant.
Brain.
They never stop.
But
it's endless.
But it seems like Elon Musk is tormented by it, and Bill Gates has harnessed it.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense, like Bill Gates has found a way to cope with it and deal with it, and Elon Musk, it does not sound like he has.
Well, Bill Gates is also almost 70, and Elon Musk is 48, so he's got a few more years on him, and he's had a lot of more time to invest and digest this and understands it. But yeah, in time, I mean, these are two very, very smart men.
How brilliant men. How old do you think those two guys were? Like, Bill Gates says that he was fairly young, and he was like in third or fourth grade when he realized it, but like a guy like Elon Musk, when did he figure out I'm smarter than everybody else?
That's a good question.
Like I'm way smarter than you and I know it.
Yeah.
I know I'm smarter than you right now.
A lot of confidence.
Yeah, probably.
Some
like
pretty cool inventions though. I mean, those things like that. I mean, think about it. I mean, you're walking on a roof. Next thing you know, you're powering your house. And who knew we were going to have these kind of cool stuff in the future. If you'd said 30 years ago that I was going to be able to have my entire life on something that fit in by 6 inches by 3 inches. I mean, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Jeez. Electrician bros are doing the math on how much it would take for solar panels. It says, depending on the number of stadium lights and the age of the lighting system, the NFL size stadium is equivalent to 9 to 12 U.S. houses in electricity consumption. That'd be a lot of electric panels, my man.
It would be a lot of electric panels.
Hmm.
It would be.
Yep. All right.
Certainly.
Well, we got that out of the way. But the NCAA, it's somehow we got into solar lighting and solar energy out of the NCAA is granting a waiver to spring sport athletes because a lot of them, and here's another thing about it too, is that if you're a senior right now, Do you want to be graduating and just done with sports and this is the end of your career at one of the biggest economic downturns that we've seen?
We should reach out to see if there's some seniors out there that were part of maybe Oregon State's baseball or maybe softball or even Oregon. And I don't know if the university will let us really interview them at this time, but just talk to them. See what they're going through. See what they're mentally. Maybe we can do that.
Well, we do have some interviews coming up tomorrow. Hey, we've got Oliver Maroney is set to join us. Talk about Big Three's big announcement that they had. Also, 8:30, we're going to talk with Brooke Olsendam. See what she's doing. Mm-hmm. Blazers are off.
Good stuff.
Blazers are, they got nothing to do. Catch up with Brooke and
I saw she's doing push-ups, though. Part of the push-up challenge.
She's doing the push-up challenge?
I saw it.
Okay. All right. And does she know when basketball's good? How was her form? Was it good?
It was very good. Huh? Yours is very good. These athletes. Well, those Cougs, they know what they're doing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, usually, have you ever seen an athlete with poor push-up form and you just go, no, that's not right.
Cam's boy Baker was getting roasted for it when this thing first started.
Yeah.
Baker has poor push-up
form. You know, push-up form is very subjective. It's like chest to the ground. Where do I go? Do I lock it out? I don't know.
Yeah, it is a...
He's like, if you can do a push-up, do a push-up.
Yeah. Okay, we have Armando Segura.
Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald reporting right now that the Miami Dolphins going to try to trade for the number one overall pick in the NFL draft.
Mm. Wow. Mm. They sit fifth. And this may be one of those teams that said, we like Tua, or we like Herbert more than Tua. Everybody's been saying Miami's going to go after Tua. But we told you about the Matt Miller report, Bleacher Report, saying teams are leaning towards Herbert now. Instead of Tua because of the injury concerns. If you have any questions about Herbert, though, why not try and go up and get Joe Burrow at once?
So if you go up and get Joe Burrow, here's my theory is that there is a quarterback sitting in Miami that Bill Belichick is going to kick the tires on. Do you know who that quarterback is?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No, it is Josh. Oh. It is Josh Rosen.
Oh.
I mean, seriously, if that happens, don't think that that's not going to be a... Hey, you guys want to send somebody up?
I think you might want to roll with Stidham over him.
No,
over
God,
Rosen.
No. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. It's just a thought.
Why would you say, oh, God, no? I've seen Josh Rosen play.
I have not seen Josh Rosen play under a solid system and a good coaching staff yet. No, I disagree with that
The McCourty brothers, the defensive players for the Patriots seem to be raving about Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah, well, congratulations. I hope that Jarrett Stidham works, but you want to bring in competition, and you got a guy that's that can throw the ball. It's not a guy that's going to outrun everybody, but probably is pretty hungry and wants a shot.
Gosh, after Stidham, though, they re-signed Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, Brian Hoyer. It's all backup.
Part of the ball club. And then they have Cody Kessler as well.
Never know.
All right. Well, that's something to keep an eye on. Yeah, Rosen going up there would be a fascinating move. Do you think they would do a trade within the division, though?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, come on. They sent Drew Bledsoe to Buffalo and Lawyer Malloy to Buffalo. Of course he does stuff. That happens all the time. I mean, everybody from New England went to the Jets. They all went to the Jets. Yeah. All of them do. It's one of the most incestuous divisions there are in the NFL.
All right. 55305. That is the fan text line. How you can be a part of our local shows that are coming up. After the Herd with Colin Cowherd from 9 to noon down in L.A., there's Dirt and Sprague, noon to 3. And then 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you Wednesday right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.